This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great day for the January 6th committee, I guess. It is the first time they are getting together in some weeks. This probably will be their last publicly televised hearing. It's actually not a hearing. It was clarified as a business meeting that was actually broadcast on most of the major networks. The conclusion of the meeting, they took a vote to subpoena former President Donald J. Trump, asking him to testify before the panel about the attack on the Capitol that occurred on January 6th, an attack which hasn't lost. And I think that's true for anybody who watched any of this hearing this morning. I watched it as much as I could until going on the air with you. And the details of January 6th still seem like a bad dream. They don't seem real. When you recognize that we had American citizens, many of them loyal, patriotic, decent people, who ended up in combat, hand-to-hand combat, inflicting injuries on people in law enforcement who were doing their duty to protect the Congress of the United States from some kind of a coup. One of the things that came up in the hearings today, this is before they voted to subpoena President Trump, was the idea that President Trump did have a conscious plan to march up to the Capitol building with the demonstrators and for him to be part of the disruption in the process of certifying the election. And he was doing that because up until the very last moment he had assumed that he would have the cooperation of Mike Pence, who refused. And refused. And again, it's so difficult because I know there are people out there who still resent the fact that Mike Pence did not violate his constitutional duty by refusing to certify the election. But that creates this situation that we have now. This is what it sounded like when the committee voted unanimously. And, of course, that committee is comprised of 7 Democrats and 2 Republicans, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, both of whom are leaving Congress. Liz Cheney lost her primary election to be the Republican nominee in an overwhelmingly Republican state, Wyoming. They only have one member of Congress, and it's not going to be Liz Cheney any longer. In any event, and Adam Kinzinger had been redistricted. He also had a very tough fight for re-election if he had sought it, but he is also following other means of public service. Not sure what that will be, but it won't be as a member of the United States Congress. Here is the recorded vote on the issuance of a subpoena to former President Trump. Listen.
Those in favor will say aye.
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 Those opposed is no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, I request a recorded vote.
A recorded vote is requested. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Cheney.
Aye.
Ms. Cheney, aye. Ms. Loughran.
Aye.
Ms. Loughran, aye. Mr. Schiff.
Aye.
Mr. Schiff, aye. Mr. Aguilar,
aye.
It goes on, aye. And they all vote aye. It was a 9-0 vote. The way that this which just occurred is being covered, this is from NBC, The House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol voted unanimously today to subpoena former President Donald Trump. Members of the panel, which held what was expected to be its final hearing before the midterm elections Thursday, had previously said they were still considering seeking an interview with Trump or former Vice President Mike Pence, or both. Sources familiar with the committee's plans told NBC News of the subpoena earlier Thursday. The panel's chair, Representative Benny Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi, said the panel had an obligation to hear from Trump. "This is a question about accountability to the American people. He must be accountable. He is required to answer for his actions," Thompson said, acknowledging that the move is a serious and extraordinary action. "It is actually not as extraordinary as people might think, because there are other presidents, many other presidents, who have testified before Congress and have been subpoenaed. Trump would not be the first former president, reports NBC, subpoenaed by Congress. Several sitting and former presidents and vice presidents have also testified before congressional committees, including Presidents Lincoln, Wilson, and Gerald R. Ford. It's unclear if the committee would seek to interview Pence, who blocked Trump's effort on January 6th to overturn the 2020 presidential election, and who faced threats of being hanged that day. What is remarkable about the hearings, at least that struck me as most remarkable and most disturbing, was you remember that the committee was struggling to recover some of the email communication, some of the online communication within the Secret Service about what was going on immediately before January 6th, and during that day, there was some dispute as to whether the president was, in fact, irate at the fact that the Secret Service wouldn't allow him to go up to the Capitol building when he wanted to do that. And it appears, according to other testimony and to some of these recovered communications, that yes, he was irate. And he may not have struggled over the steering wheel, as Cassidy Hutchinson in her testimony said he did, but he was extremely indignant and extremely irate, and he was trying to still go up to the Capitol building to participate in some of what was going on there. This is after he had gone back to the White House. There were several hours where he was still trying to get the Secret Service to provide him with enough security so that he wouldn't be at risk of injury, because that's the job of the Secret Service, is keeping members of the government, particularly the president and vice president, safe. And what was extraordinary here, and it particularly came out in the testimony by Adam Schiff, the congressman from California, was some of the communication that had not been publicized before, had not been released before, communication within the Secret Service, where more than a week before January 6th, they were very worried about violence and very worried about what was actually did happen, which was a violent attempt to interfere with the process of certifying the vote. And the idea that this important government agency, which in one sense is extremely close to the president, I mean, they're close to the president physically, it's their job to keep the president safe as much as they can. And again, they did that. The president stayed safe. I'm not sure that the Capitol building or the vice president or the rest of the country was kept entirely safe from the president himself on that day. That was the issue before the committee. We will get to more of that with a little sample of what you heard today. This may be the very last of these televised January 6th committee hearings. Why? We'll get to that as well coming up on the MedVet Show. Washington Policy Center exposed the impact of the new tax on fuel that will add 46 cents per gallon to the price of gasoline next year. Support WPC for as little as $5 a month and get their free weekly newsletter or join us for an elegant evening out. It's Friday, October 14th at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency and see the 70th Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and filmmaker researcher Chris Rufo keynoting WPC's annual dinner. Tickets and details at WPCdinner.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special MedVet history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. MedVet Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, while all of this is going on in the world, the big day on Wall Street for reasons that remain somewhat mysterious. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 827 points, 28 points actually. The S&P up 92. This is very dramatic. The Dow closing 2.8% higher, roaring back after a historic turnaround. Now, what caused this? At least some of the speculation that I've gathered so far is that there may be an assumption that with all of the dips and falls and plunges of recent months and hitting some of the lowest points in 2 years, there may be a sense that they had touched bottom and there was nowhere to go but up, and then gathered momentum. Whether that continues tomorrow, who knows? We do not have a definitive answer. There's also no definitive answer as to how Donald Trump is going to respond to the subpoena that they are issuing from the January 6th committee. The question of timing is a very serious and complicated matter here, and partially because almost everyone expects that the Republicans will win enough seats to take control of the House of Representatives. This is a committee of the House of Representatives. Even if the Democrats maintain control of the Senate, this committee is dependent upon the Democrats maintaining control of the House, and they almost surely won't. Every analysis, the odds are overwhelming that the Republicans will take control of the House of Representatives. And in that case, Kevin McCarthy has even acknowledged that he would not be eager to can authorize this committee to continue its work. You may remember that at one point they were going to cooperate on the January 6th committee, and Kevin McCarthy had nominated four members of the GOP House Caucus. Two of them were unacceptable to Nancy Pelosi. She refused to allow them to be part of the committee. That was Jim Jordan, a congressman from Ohio, very stalwart defender of President Trump, and Jim Banks, a congressman from Indiana, who was also one of those members of Congress, like Jim Jordan, who had voted to decertify the electoral votes, or at least to question the certification of the electoral votes for Joe Biden from Pennsylvania and Arizona and other states. So because Nancy Pelosi said, well, she would accept four Republican members, but not those members, Kevin McCarthy said, okay, so we won't send you anybody. And that meant that the only Republican members of this committee were volunteers for it, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, who had already expressed their opposition to the idea of the stolen election narrative. And it's honestly too bad that they weren't able to allow the participation. It would have been a very different committee process. It would have been much more contentious and angry and dramatic. But at least it would have presented both sides. I mean, one of the things that you cannot deny is that these, basically, this has not been sort of an open forum of ideas at this committee. And now the idea of when the committee is basically, is it possible that they could do further hearings and do further work after the November election, between the November election and when the new Congress comes in January? Yes, that's entirely possible. But the timing of trying to get a subpoena done during that lame duck period for the committee is deeply problematic. Jonathan Turley on Fox News talked about the timing of this new subpoena. Listen, clip one.
Seems a bit of political theater because they're waiting to the very end of the process to subpoena a former president, knowing that it's going to result in legal challenges, and more importantly, knowing that the House is likely to flip in the midterms, so that the subpoena is unlikely to go anywhere. The president's unlikely to testify even under subpoena. It's unlikely that the House, after the midterm elections, will pursue such a subpoena. So there's a bit of planned obsolescence here to say, well, we were just about to subpoena the president and they shut us down. The question is, why didn't you do this at the beginning? You knew that this was a core focus of your investigation. Why would you wait to the very end when you know that there's going to be this trench warfare trying to compel testimony of a former president?
Okay, and Andrew McCarthy, a great friend of this show, frequent guest, agreed with Jonathan Turley in questioning the timing of the subpoena. Listen.
Yeah, well, I'm completely with John on that. I would just point out what they have said up until now is that we're supposed to get their final report sometime around now, prior to the midterm elections. If he's a central witness, an essential witness, why do you wait till the very end? And what does that say about their report? If what they're saying is they need President Trump as a witness to complete their investigation, how can they possibly issue a report, which we were led to believe up until now was the big crescendo for the way this was all going to end? So I really do think that this is theater, because there's no, I mean, this is the last hearing. They're not going to have another hearing. They're going to run out of time. Trump is not going to testify for all the reasons that Martha mentioned and that Jonathan mentioned. It's not going to happen. So they want to end with a splash, and they think that's the splash. I don't know.
Look, the one thing you can say when you talk about political theater is every one of these politicians, every one of the committee members, except for the two Republicans, is on the ballot. They are all running for re-election, and they are all in fairly safe districts, and likely not Elaine Luria. She's the congresswoman who testified today, as they all did, or actually did statements today, as they all did. But Luria has a very hotly contested seat in Virginia, but the rest of them are pretty certain to continue in their positions in the Congress of the United States, but they're politicians. And, of course, the Democrats would prefer to maintain their congressional majorities. The one thing that I think that many of the Democrats believe profoundly is that Trump and the whole stolen election narrative is a big negative for Republicans. I think that is true. And so they are trying to get as much attention on Trump as possible. What about the idea of raising taxes? That's also not a popular matter. We'll talk about taxes in Washington State with the Washington Policy Center coming right up.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. The release of a new report shows inflation is displaying no signs of slowing down. The consumer price index for last month came in hotter than expected at 0.4%. The year-over-year increase was 8.2%. A spike in food prices is being blamed for contributing to the increases. Energy prices declined, with gasoline falling by nearly 5%. Social Security benefits are going up 8.7% next year. The cost of living adjustment is the biggest increase in 40 years. The bump the Social Security Administration announced Thursday tops the 5.9% increase 66 million Americans receiving Social Security got this year. The Democratic-led Made-for-TV January 6 committee is holding another hearing today. This is USA Radio News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved Show. I've been broadcasting here from the state of Washington for, that's more than 26 years now. It's a while. And we're going to do something right now together with Jason Mercier, who is the director of the Center for Government Reform at the Washington Policy Center. Jason, I don't think this ever happened from, certainly not from the Michael Medved Show. I don't think it's ever happened from the Washington Policy Center. But we're going to talk about following the enlightened example of California. Do I have that right? California is actually doing something right that maybe the state of Washington could find inspiring or as a useful example. Do you want to flip over all the cards and tell us what they're doing right in California that we need to consider up here?
Yeah, Michael, it is shocking to say that it's time to follow our friends in the Golden State lead, but they have done something, and in fact, it's not just California. It also includes Oregon, it includes Idaho, it includes New Jersey, New York, and in fact, it includes every state across the country, with only one exception. And unfortunately, that's the state of Washington. And what we're talking about is tax relief. So if you recall, a week and a half ago, Governor Inslee flew down to San Francisco along with the governor of Oregon and the premier of British Columbia. And they were there with Governor Newsom of California to have this big climate press conference. But something else happened that day that actually took the very first question that was asked at this, and this was about the historic tax relief that California was providing. And Governor Newsom was very proud of the fact that they have provided over $9.5 billion of tax relief, over $1,000 per individual, because of the fact that so much money has been coming in and citizens are hurting under this record inflation and rising prices. And this story has played out across the country of governors and legislators saying, we need to help out our citizens. We've got record revenues. We're going to return some of it back to taxpayers. Unfortunately, that is just not the case in Washington.
Okay, the question becomes here. I think people who oppose tax relief suggest that if you do tax relief, if you send more money back into the system, that just feeds inflation. Do you think there's any substance to that argument?
Well, there's a difference between what the federal government did with the packages, right? When the federal government is printing money on a deficit basis, it's just pumping money into the economy, you do get that inflationary impact. The difference being, though, on the state level, you're either returning money that was already in a family's pocketbook or you're not increasing spending someplace else. So it doesn't have that type of inflationary impact that you see with the federal government just printing money out of thin air and pumping it into the system.
What I understand from what I've read from the WPC or the video that you put out about advocating a sales tax cut is that basically you're talking about a cut of 0.2% in the sales tax?
Well, when we put out that video, we did it, I believe, over a year and a half ago. And since then, revenue has increased so much that you could do an even higher increase. And what we're talking about, the state of Washington at the state level imposes a 6.5% sales tax. But it always hasn't been that high. You know, it started off around 2% when it was enacted in the 30s and then grew and grew and grew and grew. And unfortunately, it has not been reduced since 1982. That was the last time our sales tax, that 6.5%, was reduced. And when we went into this last legislative session back in January, lawmakers had over $10.5 billion of unanticipated revenue. That was money that wasn't planned. They had a balanced budget. They had billions in reserve. So the expectation was, if Washington State was ever going to provide tax relief, the stars had finally aligned. And that's, again, what you've seen happen state after state across the country, governors and lawmakers coming to that conclusion that we should return some of this back to citizens. That did not play out in Washington. In Washington, that money was mostly spent. But even since then, we have seen another $1.5 billion increase in revenue, which again means there's opportunity for our lawmakers to provide that type of tax relief.
Well, what does it come to for a typical family in Washington State if, say, you have a reduction in the sales tax, the state sales tax, that is, say, 0.3%? Does that come to the kind of reduction in taxes that the ordinary family would feel?
It entirely depends upon what that level of tax relief is, what percent they go up to, and then the type of purchases that you make. Now, with the sales tax, we know that that touches everybody because everybody makes purchases. And even though the sales tax hasn't been reduced, the legislature in the 80s did exempt groceries, like food items. So part of that grocery bill that you're paying is already not going to be subject to that. But for other things that you're doing, your school supplies, your clothing, those things, your everyday purchases that you're making. And I think when we think about it, you know, we've been advocating for the sales tax because that's the one that touches everybody. But you really can't go wrong. You could do a property tax reduction. We've seen other states doing that. The question just comes down to, this is taxpayer money. We know that citizens are hurting underneath this record inflation. You have balanced budgets. You have billions in reserves. At what point can you provide some of that back? And unfortunately, the comments we got from Governor Inslee this summer don't give us a lot of hope, because he was actually asked how much revenue, what could be enough revenue that you would support a tax relief? How high of growth would you support tax relief? And his answer was that he would be surprised if revenue ever could grow high enough that he would do that. So it's probably not going to be coming out of his office, but hopefully the legislature will have a different viewpoint on things.
Yeah, it was 1982 was the last time we had any kind of a sales tax cut in the state. Didn't we have a Republican governor in 1982, very briefly?
Yeah, that was underneath Governor Evans.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go. So one of the answers about this is a change of leadership in Olympia. Is this something that could unite Republican candidates for the legislature and what actually could be a battle for control of the House and Senate, no?
Actually, Michael, I misspoke there. Governor Evans is in the Senate at that point, so that probably would have been underneath the Democratic governor at that point, but that just shows you the legislature still was able to prioritize this, which is why I think that regardless of it being a Republican or a Democratic legislature, you know, California is a supermajority Democratic legislature. Hawaii is a supermajority Democratic legislature. Same with New York, same with New Jersey, same with Nevada, yet those states are providing tax relief.
What's the difference? What do the Democrats say in fighting against tax relief?
Well, for Governor Inslee, he indicated that he always sees more spending needs than there is revenue. So he thinks that things should be addressed on the spending side versus on tax relief. The other argument that you will hear from some in the majority party is that, we're facing these uncertain times. We need to make sure that we're saving money. The revenue forecast is uncertain. And I guess my response to the comment about the revenue forecast being uncertain is that's true for spending as well. But you don't hesitate adopting these record budget increases based upon the revenue forecast. This is the nonpartisan process that we put in place by economic experts that's supposed to drive our discussions. And if that revenue can be gospel for spending increase, it can also be relied on for tax relief.
This is a fascinating and very important subject, and actually the little bits that you think you spend on sales tax mount up. Get more information. Go to our website. Click on WPC, Washington Policy Center. Jason Mercier is the director of the Center for Government Reform. And keep at him, Jason. When we come back, more on the latest struggle about the committee. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Michael Medved Show, let's say you're 15 years old, right? And all of a sudden you're arrested for what? Well, just wait. And you're held on $800,000 bond. So what's the story here? It's just appalling, and it's sad, and it gives you some sense of what our educational professionals actually have to deal with on a fairly regular basis. This is at a very good high school in a very nice part of the Puget Sound area. It's Edmonds Woodway High School. And hours before an Edmonds Woodway High School student was arrested, he was arrested at the very end of September, for investigation of having a gun on campus. School staff searched his backpack, according to new charges filed in Snohomish County Superior Court. After he went back to class, the loaded Glock was recovered from his shorts, the charges say. They were shorts with a pocket worn under his pants. In a statement, Edmonds School District spokesperson Harmony Weinberg said staff had been told the weapon was in the student's backpack, so that's what was searched. On the morning of September 29th, two students told staff they were worried one of their classmates had a gun. The student showed messages asking one of them to hold the 15-year-old's gun. He was concerned about being searched, so he asked one of his fellow students, just hold my loaded gun for me. Very intelligently, the student didn't agree to do that. School staff called the student accused of having the weapon into the vice principal's office. They told him about the report. The staff then searched his backpack but did not find the weapon, so he went back to class, according to the court papers. One of the two students who originally reported the gun then told staff of fears of retaliation. Staffers reportedly assured this student that the suspect had been carefully searched. Well, not so carefully. The student then told employees the classmate had been seen with a gun at the school the previous day. And there's a third student who approached school staff about the student suspected of having a gun. That student reported talking to the suspect who said his backpack had been searched and the staff didn't find his gun because it was near his waist. The reporting students then believed that the it referred to a gun, and he made an excuse to leave class to tell staff about the conversation. This is all in the same day. At that point, staff called 911. Edmonds police came to the school, where teachers were directed to keep students in their classrooms. Police searched the suspect. They found a loaded Glock 27 pistol in the pocket of shorts he was wearing under his pants. As police arrested the 15-year-old student, he reportedly told them, "I just have a gun for self-protection." The Glock's serial number had been scratched off, making it illegible. Now, any parents out there, it's a show of hands, who have students in a public high school right now? Sure you do. Some do. Doesn't it kind of worry you that there's a student like this who is enrolled in a fine public high school and who has a Glock with a serial number scratched off? The student was on electronic home monitoring after having been charged with two counts of first-degree robbery. Prosecutors wrote in charges for being a juvenile in possession of a firearm. That's a felony. Both cases allegedly involved handguns. In other words, stealing handguns and then carrying the handgun on his person. The student's parents told investigators their son was a gang member. Great. He had recently tried to leave the gang, but apparently unsuccessfully. Last week, prosecutors formally charged the suspect. The Superior Court Judge Paul Thompson ordered the suspect held on $80,000 cash bail or $800,000 bond. In a statement, the school district noted that state law says a student who brings a weapon to campus will be expelled from school for at least 1 year. This is concerning because, of course, it can happen anywhere. There's another story about another Washington high school with another controversial decision. A Washington high school where the teachers are instructed to avoid using the terms biologically male or biologically female. Biological boy is a term that anti-trans activists often use to disregard and discredit transgender schools, says Seattle area Linwood High School. A public high school in Washington State is instructing teachers to avoid the terms biologically male and biologically female in the classroom. Ari Dodge Sheehan, the counseling secretary for the Seattle area Linwood High School, sent out an employee-wide email to promote Transgender Visibility Day. Terrific. And to provide guidelines on how to work with transgender students. The message included a section on terms to avoid that listed born a man, born a woman, biologically male, biologically female, biological boy, biological girl, genetically male, and genetically female. Phrases like those above oversimplify a complex subject and are often used by anti-transgender activists to inaccurately imply that a trans person is not who they say they are, Sheehan wrote in the email, which was obtained through a public information request. Biological boy is a term anti-trans activists often use to disregard and discredit transgender girls and deny them access to society as their authentic gender identity. A person's biology does not determine a person's gender identity. So, in other words, the school is taking a very clear position in favor of the idea that your identity is whatever you say it is. And again, given some of the controversy, and really there's not much controversy when you actually look at the polling on this, that the polling on the idea of, you'll pardon the expression, people who are born male competing in female sports, that's not a popular development. It is not one with broad public support. I'll tell you something else that doesn't have broad public support is Democratic governors in general. There's a piece in the Daily Wire that reports that 9 of the nation's top 10 most popular governors are Republicans, according to a new survey. The most popular governor in the country is outgoing governor. He's decided not to run for re-election. He surely would have won. Republican Charlie Baker, moderate Republican of Massachusetts, he has a 74% approval rating. Another moderate Republican, Phil Scott in Vermont, is ranked second at 73%, with yet another governor, Republican governor, who's going to be replaced by a Democrat because the Republican nominee who won the nomination is basically a flat earther. Larry Hogan of Maryland was the third most popular. The other Republican governors in the top 10, other than those three, include Doug Burgum of North Dakota and Mark Gordon of Wyoming, Jim Justice of West Virginia, Alabama's Kay Ivey, Idaho's Brad Little, and New Hampshire's Chris Sununu. So what does it say? What it says is this, is the other end of the list is Oregon Democratic Governor Kate Brown. She is the least popular governor with just 40% approval among registered voters in her state. That's below Biden. That's extraordinary. She ranked just below Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, who also had a low approval rating. What does this mean? Well, it may mean a Republican governor in the state of Oregon, which would be a remarkable development. We're going to be speaking sometime soon to Christine Drazen, who could be that Republican governor in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.